So hey, it's Peter, and you're tuned to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. This interview is with Luke Trons, one of the brains behind Green Fingers. They're a charity that realise, maybe a nice way to put it, gardens in children's hospices. The interview does get a little bit gulp in your throat, but in true Peter style, not intentional, this interview was also recorded in a car park in London. And so it comes with a little bit of wind down the channel, a little bit. It doesn't last for long. People rattling gates, cars reversing, horns beeping and planes going overhead. All the while we're surrounded by none other than Battersea Park. So there's an element of those sounds as well. When we were doing the intro for this, the ambient sounds took over. And there was a really dodgy forklift driver who, I think he had a soft spot for the noise that that machine makes when it is left in reverse. And it became a bit overwhelming. So I stopped it, deleted that bit, and then forgot where I started, which is the point at which you joined the interview. I have to put a note of thanks in here to a name you've heard crop up a little bit more often than I had intended in 2018, but one absolute gentleman, and that is Andrew Fisher-Tomlin. Not so much Andrew, well, yeah, because he was the instigator of it, and the one who made me join hands with Lou, but more to the point, London College Garden Design, who, again, a bit like has happened this year, made recording this in person something that I genuinely, hand on heart, really wanted to do. I didn't want to do this one over the phone, and you'll understand why when you get into that. But they're celebrating their 10-year anniversary. And so to you who listen, to Lou, who I speak with, and to London College Garden Design, cheers, lads. Really, so very much appreciated. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
So we left the skip man behind. We moved. I'm unsure where we were, Lou, but I think I was talking. Where was I?
We were talking about the difference between children's hospices and adult hospices.
Yeah.
And that children's hospices are really exciting, vibrant places to be in. Places where children and families go to be families and do things that they probably couldn't do outside, that they couldn't do outside if they were in a public park or all that sort, those sorts of places.
I'm very aware of what you do because of a couple of garden designers. One of them is Anne-Marie Powell, not to cherry pick. The other is Andrew Fisher-Tomlin, who is, I think we're both smiling now when we just mentioned the name. That's a good thing. Explain to me the role that the garden designers play in Green Fingers charity.
The garden designers are a real crucial part of what we do. They visit the hospices, they work out what the hospice needs for their children and their families. And they don't do that just by looking at the outside space. They do that by talking to the families, they talk to the carers, and they find out exactly what they want their children to be doing outside, whether it's a therapy session, whether it's playing music, whether it's just being able to find a spot to sit and reflect and remember. And their expertise is just incredible, really. Anne-Marie worked with us on a garden in West Sussex, a lovely children's hospice, Chestnut Tree Children's Hospice, where she created a woodland walk. I visited that a couple of years ago and hear quite regularly just how that garden's being used by everybody at the hospice. It's an incredible place. where children in wheelchairs can actually spend time outside in a really safe and protective environment. And the garden Andrew's working on is kind of similar, really. It's another woodland. It's an acre of space in a children's hospice in East London, Richard House Children's Hospice. And it's going to be an area that's very rarely used at the moment, but with lots of little pockets of activity, little activity spaces within that woodland, so that it'll give children a really wide variety of experiences. Be amazing. It'll be an absolutely amazing project. And Andrew's just great. He's really, really great to be working with. He's really inspiring, and he just totally gets children's hospices and what they can be doing to help children and families achieve a kind of a normal way of life. And Anne-Marie is exactly the same. In fact, all the designers that we work with are very passionate about what they're doing and the difference that the gardens are making.
Do you have to be... I'm smiling now, but I was about to ask, not of me, but do you have to be a big kid in your heart, you know, in Drop Dead Fred with Rick Mail? Do you have to be one of them to be able to design a Green Fingers garden?
I think that all of the designers we work with are big kids at heart. You know, they know what they want to do. They know what playing outside is all about. And that's really what our children want to be doing. They want to be playing outside. They want to be living as normal a life as they possibly can. And, you know, and I think we're all big kids at heart, aren't we?
Well, I know if you said to my dad, you know, what's the most fun thing you did, I would not expect the answer to be, well, I was in a supermarket one day and I did a forward tumble, if that makes sense. And as grown-ups, we sometimes tend to forget how to do the impromptu act the maggot, as my mother would have maybe called it, and clipped you across the ear for, which was essentially wetting your finger and sticking it in your brother's ear. But, you know, as grown-ups, we don't tend to do that, as sometimes, not all, maybe just me, but things. Does that make sense with you, Lou?
It makes total sense. And when you consider what a hospice environment's like, the inside is where all the real serious stuff happens. And the outside of the hospice, in the gardens, is where the fun memories can be created. So, you know, for a family to be sitting having story time outside with medical intervention sort of fairly close by if they needed it, is just a great place to be. And, you know, that's not to say that there aren't fun memories created inside the hospice, but, you know, we all feel better when we're outside. When you see the children and families outside in the gardens at the hospices we work with, it's incredible. It's a really incredible experience. I think you can go to a hospice feeling quite sad and quite trepidatious, I suppose, about what you're going to see and what you're going to encounter. But it's a very normal... That's a very strange thing to say, really, but they can be quite... They can, you know, I come away from there feeling quite quite inspired and sort of uplifted, really. And I think that's something that we give those families, sort of an uplifting experience.
I'm going to stick on the gardens for just a little bit, because we've got a half hour of a show, and I've got the time. I think when I've spoke before about, how do I say it, what does Peter get out of doing the sod show? Well, if this was the only interview I did this year, I think I'd sit quite happy with that. The fact that I get to wrap it around with other people who I've got a great respect for also makes me smile. But I'm going to ask this as polite as I can, so for those of you listening at home, if I make a mistake, the question that I ask isn't important, the answer is, if that makes sense. And so I've got to not play devil's advocate but also be quite eloquent, and then I don't want to over apologize before I even ask the question, so just bear with me here. But I've seen inverted commas children's gardens, young mind gardens, designed for, let's say, a council. And I know it's kit format. I've seen inverted commas gardens designed maybe at an opposite end of the scale at a pull-in petrol station. And I'm thinking in my head, geez, just give me two Bramley apple trees and I'll just climb them and break a few branches and get into trouble with, you know, my mum or my dad. Kick a ball off a wall or whatever is the 1980s format of not an industrial estate playground, if that makes sense to you. To get to the point when a Greenfingers garden is being designed, you noted it there, you have an area maybe where reflection would be allowed or encouraged, or you don't have a signpost saying reflection area over here, if you understand me, which maybe a petrol station drive-through might. But do you set a brief, and very loosely, what is that brief when you set it? Because it can't be all fun and sunshine, but that's also required, and so my head is maybe grappling slightly at the minute.
Yeah, so we work very closely with the hospices as to what they actually need, and their gardens can be anything. No two gardens are the same. We recently worked with a children's hospice in Sheffield to create two incredible gardens actually outside their bereavement suites. So a bereavement suite is where a child who sadly passed away can stay until the funeral, so there's no need to take the child away from the hospice building, a place where the families have probably felt very safe and protected for many, many years. This particular hospice, the view outside of the window of this suite was overlooking a turning circle, which quite often had skips outside. So, you know, quite a depressing time for a family with a depressing outlook. And we wanted to change that. And the hospice wanted to change that. So we created this really peaceful area which was low maintenance, which had planting that that wasn't still. There'd be some movement in the planting. So the planting was really carefully selected. A lovely bench overlooking a lovely meadow. And that garden's now being used by those families that sadly have lost a child to sit and reflect and remember. And that is sort of on the really emotive side of what we do. And I don't think anybody can fail to be moved by hearing about a child's death and the family's loss. And then on the flip side, we've got play gardens with picnic benches, with room for a wheelchair, but always the brief is about creating memories. So whether it's happy memories, sad memories, it's all about positive memories, about how that, you know, the children and families spend time together.
I'm going to deflect this one because I'm rubbing my chin while I compose myself, shall I call it. Do you find it hard at times to talk about this, even though you know that there's, as you rightly said, memories? I think all gardens should have them. And can it be difficult for you to speak about it? Because in my heaven, I speak about gardens. I think I've always said there are gardens that I've made that have been seven figures, and I've never met the person who I designed it for, and I've never got to see them smile. And that, in my heart, makes me a little bit sad. But that's because I care. I like to think, or Mom would like to think, that I was reared well, one or the other. Does it catch you a little bit like a Jerry Maguire moment?
Oh, absolutely. My father passed away quite recently, and my dad was an absolute lover of everything gardening. And knowing the pleasure he got from, you know, his roses that he planted many years ago and the apple trees that he planted that we now have, you can't fail to be moved when you're visiting somewhere that's quite, you know, that can be quite a sad place at times. And the woodland walk that Anne-Marie created a few years ago, a family that we spoke to there sort of about a year or so ago, the mum was saying that the garden was her reason for returning to the hospice, the hospice that the family had been involved with for 8 years before their daughter passed away. But it was the garden that was their reason for going back, so going back to volunteer. So, you know, they haven't lost that connection with a place that they felt, you know, very strongly about and has made a real difference to them as a family.
I'm going to just pause this for a minute and we'll go for a little bit of a song. I think that's appropriate.
Well, now we're dancing through the garden. And what a garden I have made. And now that will grow my jasmine, I find it soothing, I'm afraid. And now there is no need for suspicion. No, there ain't no fraud kissing your hand. And I won't be like
So we're back, and I'm all fresh, new and dandy professional, Peter. But I don't do research, but I was on your website by chance last week, and your list of, do you call them ambassadors?
We do, yeah.
Is absolutely endless. You've got a massive amount of them.
I think we've got about 40 now, which is just brilliant because it really helps us to get the Green Fingers message out. We're a tiny, tiny team. There's only three of us on the payroll. So using ambassadors in a really fun way is a serious way is a great way of helping us save costs and you know, helping to increase brand awareness, as they say.
That's not what they call it nowadays.
Increase brand awareness.
In marketing speak.
Yeah. And actually two of our ambassadors, agents of field, Zoe and AD, are amazing. And at Christmas time, they... I don't know whether you remember, Peter. They had a lovely video with Anne-Marie was in it. There's quite a few other nice garden designers and friendly allotmenteers. And I think you might have been in the shower, weren't you? I'm sure you were in the shower. Yeah, I'm sure you
were. I would like to deny that one, but I think they rang me and said, would you do something? And I said, just name it, and I'm there. And then I said, who else is involved? And they said, oh, he's involved. And they're a bunch of dossers. They're going to do something really funny. But none of them did. They all wore Christmas jumpers and Christmas hats. And I ended up in the shower.
In the shower, yeah. Very festive, very festive though, wasn't it? In the shower, looking very festive, yeah. And David Dominique was great because he got involved in that as well, which was amazing. And, yeah, it was a really, really good, fun way of spreading the word about what we're doing, and we loved being part of it, and it was really well received by everybody. And yeah, nice shower.
Agents of Field, if you're listening, by the way, Aid, I saw his profile photograph as an ambassador, and he's got this front man, Sean, I was going to say Happy Monday, split down the middle just to the ears look, and now it's all a little bit tighter and he's a bit sensible. So an absolute lady and an absolute gentleman, and always, always a pleasure to be in their company. Another one of them who never ceases to make me smile and giggle, which is what life needs a little bit more of. Am I correct in saying this? Are you 20 years on the go?
Yeah, next year we're celebrating 20 years of creating gardens. We've created 55 gardens so far, and we've got a load more in the pipeline. But yeah, really excited about next year, 20th year, 20th anniversary. We've got lots of exciting plans that will be announced in due course.
On the 20th year thing, how did this all start, Luke? In Peter's head, when I speak to Matt Soper, who essentially invents carnivorous plants, Hampshire carnivorous plants, I have it correct, right? My brain's back in order. I haven't had coffee this morning, 2 spots coffee, I should say. When I asked Matt, you know, how did he become an inventor of carnivorous plants, it's not something you hear every day. And on that same page, who held up the light bulb and went, we need to do something about this?
So Richard Jackson is the charity's founder. He and a group of gardening friends and experts were doing some fundraising, quite a lot of fundraising sort of in the early days, supporting several different charities. And then, you know, it was quite obvious that, you know, that there was a need out there for gardens in children's hospices. You know, I think the hospices are so busy fundraising for what goes on inside the hospice that they don't have the resource to fund what goes on outside. And that's where sort of how Green Fingers really started. And yeah, thanks to Richard Jackson, we're doing some amazing work, making a difference to thousands and thousands of people every year.
How did you then get roped into it? Because you're the one woman that I seem to meet. It's like, I don't know, some romantic sitcom with Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm terrible at films. I'd be crap on it. Kate Winslet, yeah. If you were Kate Winslet, I'd be running through the crowd and you'd just get lost in a market in Soho somewhere and I'd be chasing you looking for a woman in a red hat. We've been to the Garden Media Guild Awards together. We've been to Chelsea Flower Show. And then we bump into each other in, what's the name of the park that we're in at the minute?
We're in Battersea Park today.
But Battersea Park is nice. What was the point of my question? I deviated off and I thought of Kate Winslet there for some reason or another.
Battersea Park, we're outside. We managed to grab some time together. First time ever.
Oh, sorry, yeah, now I remember. See, you at home can rewind this back and go and listen and go, we know what your original question was. How did you get roped into Greenfingers, or how did you end up in it?
I started fundraising sort of about 15 years ago. My husband passed away, absolutely adamant that I wanted to go and work for a hospice, the hospice that cared for him. And it was a brilliant place to be. It was a brilliant therapy. It was amazing. And I was there for about 8 years. I'd come to a point in my life where I had to move on for the sake of my sanity, really, and also my kids, who were quite young when my husband died. And the support they had from the hospice when he died was incredible, and has made them into the people they are today. And in fact, I'm really delighted that my son's actually in the gardening industry, which is really exciting for me, because we can talk about gardening and it's lovely. And, you know, I love gardening. Whole family's passionate about gardening, and I just had this opportunity to had the fundraising at Greenfingers almost 4 years ago, and it's a place that, you know, it's a place that I absolutely love. I feel really passionate about what I do, and I feel really, really passionate about the people that work with us, who support us, and who help to make that difference. It's a really, really exciting place, charity to work for.
There are two main charities that I am more aware of than any other than I've ever seen, but I'm more aware of them because I think between yourself and Perennial, two entirely different charities, I should add, I've never known any industry to just put their arms around the both of you and say whatever they want, just essentially just give it to them. You do, yeah, I've got to take an Irish mailman's pause now here. I'm two steps away. I've got the same gulp in my throat, not the same. When you say go and ask her to dance, you know, how about I just tell you something about Arsenal until you walk away, and then I don't have to ask you. The entire of the horticulture industry seems to just put their arms around you, hold you tightly, and say, what can we do to help? That is across the board. That's Christmas videos with agents of field, Fisher Tomlin, it's Anne-Marie Powell, it's the garden centre industry, it's the landscapers. And when you don't have to go knocking on doors, I find that just eternally wonderful.
I've worked for three other charities, and this charity is really unique. I think anybody with a child or a grandchild, the work of hospices can really pull at the heartstrings. And you know, if you enjoy gardening, if you like being outside, and you feel the benefits of being outside, then you're going to totally get what Greenfingers charity does. And yeah, I think we are incredibly fortunate. We've got garden manufacturers, we've got the retailers, we've got a really fantastic hotel group as well now supporting us. It is an incredible charity, supported by incredible people. It's fantastic, and it's great talking to people like you, who is very obviously passionate about the charity. And I'm at the Sod Show, and you know, it's really, really great. It's a really great industry to be part of.
I find it tough asking some of these questions, I'll be honest with you, because you know, some people have different tales of their own, shall I phrase it that way, and we'll park that one entirely there as the beeping goes off in the background and makes it sound a little bit more romantic. But there are moments in gardens where I've stood almost like Heathcliff and Cathy, and seen people standing in a garden that I've just made for them, and they're breaking their backside laughing. It makes me turn around and put my hand on my heart and say, boy, done good. If it's possible, have you got one or two of them that you can give me on where they were?
Yeah, the first garden project I managed actually wasn't for Greenfingers, it was for another, it was for the hospice charity. It was a memorial woodland, and that was incredible, and it was the first outdoor space I'd ever created, and that was a moment for me. But working for Greenfingers, I think the first garden I managed was at Keach Hospice in Luton, and that was working with the fantastic designer Adam Frost, who completely transformed a really horrible courtyard that was right in the centre of the hospice. So everybody, whether they worked there, whether they were visiting, whether they were attending, whether they were doing whatever, had to walk past this really uninspiring space. And he's created this really vibrant area that's now being enjoyed by everybody. In fact, it's being enjoyed so much, it's being so well used that the hospice have even used it as a venue for a wedding, which was incredible, which was, and that was a moment where I thought, gosh, we're really making a difference. And I'm doing my tiny, tiny little bit to help.
Do you get moments where, because when I've worked on a couple of hospital spaces in my real job, which isn't this, when I walk in, they may as well have taken cattle out of it, but we've surrounded it with industrial estate fencing instead. And invariably, that's what I see when I walk in and I go make the magic happen, essentially. But then you hear laughter. And as simple as that last clause of that sentence is, do you get to hear laughter in the spaces, Lou, but you never heard it before? It's like hearing somebody singing in the shower after maybe 3 years post a bereavement. You can't make them sing. Does that picture make sense to you?
It makes total sense, and actually reminds me of a time when I was at Helen House in Oxford, and we were doing some filming there in the garden that we'd just created. It was a kaleidoscope garden, so a garden that allows children to be outside whatever the weather. It's a little bit of drizzle. There's a lovely shelter with a lovely colourful roof that when the sun shines, the reflection shine on the children on the ground. It's incredible. And when we were doing the filming, the Life Limited child was inside the hospice building having his treatment while mum and brother and sister were outside playing. And it just felt like a normal family garden. It was that was a moment, actually. That was a moment where you could see that, you know, the mum was relaxed because her poorly son was being looked after, and the children, the siblings, were outside playing like my children would have played in a garden. That was incredible, actually, quite moving.
How do you say it? I'll go back to what we said near the start of the interview, which was that you need to be a big kid inside before you put pen to paper, maybe. Yeah.
No, I think if you've got the imagination to create or design an outside space that's going to tick the boxes for so many people, and to make sure that there is laughter and happy memories created, it's just a brilliant job. And, you know, the family I was talking about just a moment ago in Oxford, I can remember the story that the mum told me. They, at home, because her poorly son had a condition that needed bedroom downstairs, a bathroom downstairs, and all the paraphernalia that goes with a Life Limited child, you know, oxygen cylinders and that kind of thing. A big extension to the house meant there was no garden at home. So the only garden that they had where they could all play safely together was at the hospice. And the vision to create a structure that's now, you know, a lot of hospices are seeing and saying, actually, we want our children to be outside all year round. Yeah, it's good. It's all good.
I said we were in Battersea Park. We are in Battersea Park. I promise you, it's like the A-team going overhead. And we're in the lap of luxury, aren't we, Lou? Where are we sitting?
We're sitting in a car park. Behind us there are some skips, and we're sitting on a really, really actually quite comfortable pallet, which is painted. And I've got a feeling that when we stand up, we're going to have paint on our bums, which will be quite interesting for the rest of the day.
At least we lost a forklift. Yeah. So I need to get in touch with management and figure out my budget here. But Lou Patrons, always a pleasure. If people want to get in touch, how do they do that?
Check out the website. That's www.greenfingerscharity.org.uk, or drop me a line, Linda, Linda, at greenfingerscharity.org.uk. And I just have to say, Lou is my nickname. It's a nickname that I've had ever since I was a child. So thank you for calling me it.
You're most welcome. I look forward to seeing you at the Garden Media Guild Award.
Yeah, looking forward to that again. Yes, good.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Thanks very much.